Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
God is good. I love that first song we sang, God is good, amen. He has been so good to me. He's been good to us. This is my wife down here, Jackie. Many of you know us, but several of you do not. And Jackie and I have been married 48 years, going on 49, and I said, that proves that there's a God for her to live with me that long. Yes, amen. We have two children, Brock and Alyssa. We have Brock and Brittany, and we have 10 grandchildren, and we are enjoying life. I retired the end of August from Harmony Christian Church after 17 years. And had been at UPS 27 years previously to that, and so retired from there as well. So I'm trying to figure out what retirement is, but last week I spoke at Greentown, and this week here, next week I'm at Harmony, and the following week I'm at a church up towards Oak Hill High School. And I'm basically doing a lot of the same things that I've always done, but now I do it for no money. But my treasure is in heaven. If I can get my Bible going here. I just want to, first of all, just say thank you to all of you for loving our family. You have loved our family well. You love Brittany, or Brock and Alyssa and our kids. And you love my dad well. And I'm so thankful for that. Dad was not able to attend here for the last few years of his life, but he loved the Friends Church here. And of course, my grandmother, she always sat right back there where John Starkey's sitting. She sat there every Sunday for many, many years. And the first time I ever remember hearing the name of Jesus was in the basement of this church. Somebody, I don't even remember who the Sunday school teacher was, but I was just a little boy, and they put a flannel graph of Jesus up on the... And so who would have ever thought that whenever I was a little boy down there looking at a flannel graph of Jesus for the first time, and we didn't really hear Jesus in our family. We lived in a good family, but not really a Christian family. But man, my folks, they were the best. They were just so good, but was not really raised in a Christian home. But whenever I heard the name Jesus, then who would ever thought that one day I'd be standing behind the pulpit here at the Friends Church? So it is quite an honor. I'd really count it a privilege to stand here before you all this morning. I want to build today on Brock's message from last week. How many of you remember the main word that he used for last week? Momentum. Momentum. So this is momentum two. I want to build on momentum. And that's what you have to do to keep momentum going, isn't it? You always have to build on it. So I want to build on what his... topic was last week of momentum. And I know many of you participated in some level or another in the 21-day fast. I would say that there's several of us in the past we've gone off to retreats or conventions or youth events, and we've come home from those and we've been fired up after going to those things. And then after a few days, it seems to wear off. We get back into the things of the world. You have to go to your job. And things begin to calm down, and the sizzle goes away, doesn't it? Well, we have to figure out in our Christian walk how to keep those things going. I'm entering in now to my 51st year as a believer. And there are times when you have those ebbs and flows of ups and downs. But we have to try to figure out as believers how to keep that on an upward scale to where we're always growing, we're always learning, we're always going forward in the things of God. And so to keep momentum going is what I want to talk to you about this morning. And for momentum to be sustained, we want to be able to keep in a flow up here rather than a flow down here. And so to do that, it takes a lot. We were at Judah's basketball game about 2 weeks ago. The opposing team was making an inbound pass, and one of Brock's teammates come running up, got right in front of him, grabbed the ball, but he had so much momentum that he was going to go out of bounds. And so he just throws the ball up in the air, and it goes in a basket. The problem was, is it was the opposing team's basket. That was momentum that needed to be stopped. 40 years ago this last October, Jackie was 8 months and 28 days pregnant. And she was a little petite gal, and she had Brittany was 8'15 when she was born, and Brock weighed 9'12 when he was born. So little Jackie, she has this big baby out here. She had to lean back to keep her balance. Well, this was back in the days, 40 years ago, the Marion Mall was the place to be. You know, it was a booming place. And in October, the Christmas crowd was beginning to pick up. There was a pretty good crowd there that evening. And her and I were walking down the hallway of the mall, and she tripped over a piece of lint or something, I don't know. And she loses her balance, and she's going like this. And it's like everybody seeing this almost nine-month pregnant lady going forward, and it's like their eyes, since everything's in slow motion, their eyes get big, and it's like the parting of the Red Sea, and here she comes. And about a minute before all that started, there's a 90-year-old guy sitting on the bench down there, and he had started to get up. It takes him the entire time of a minute plus Jackie going forward for about 30 yards for him to finally get up. He gets up just in time to realize what's happening. He reaches his hand out and stops her from falling over. That was a momentum that needed to be stopped. And you know, the devil tries to stop our momentum. He does everything he can every day of our life to stop our momentum. He wants to discourage us. He wants to cause us to slow down. He doesn't want us to be on fire for God. He doesn't want us to be into the things of God. In fact, he hates you, and he wants to destroy you. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But we have to understand, we have an enemy, and we have an adversary who is against us. You know, before we were saved and after we were saved, we had the same enemy. That's the devil and his demons. In John 10:10, it says this. It says, "The thief does not come but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." We have an enemy. He is a thief, and he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to kill and steal and to destroy your marriage. He wants to kill and steal and destroy your life. He wants to come and steal and kill and destroy everything that you're involved in. He wants to come and kill and steal and to destroy you. And we have to understand, we have that enemy, and we have to fight against the wiles of the devil. Paul said, I may share this later as well, but Paul said about 3 weeks before he passed, he shared, "I have fought the good fight, I have ran the race, I have finished my course." What was he talking about? I fought the good fight. He fought a good fight. A good fight is the fight that you win. And we have to understand, when against our enemy, we are to win. We will win if we know who we are in Christ. If we stand on Jesus Christ, we will win. But we are in a battle. Now, that word kill. Sometimes I wonder all the different tactics that the devil uses to kill us. And I'm going to poke a little bit of fun at my wife, but sometimes I'm wondering whose team she's on. We get into the car. We get into this closed little area of our car. And why she picks then to bring out the hairspray. And, well, looky here. I just happens to be a can of hairspray right here. She brings out the hairspray, and she... Don't all you gals do that? That's the way you spray hairspray. About 50% of it's on my Caucasian hair. 20% is on her hair. And I'm thinking, she's trying to kill me. I can't hardly breathe. And the devil uses all sorts of tactics, poking fun at her, but really he uses all sorts of tactics to pull you down, to discourage you, to get you off track, to get you out of the Word, to get you discouraged, and to get you to complaining and griping about things. He does all of those things to destroy us. This verse, once again, John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But you can't stop there. So many people live in the first half of that verse. Well, the devil's just beating me up. He's just having a heyday with me. And people live in the first half of the verse and never get to the second half of the verse. Don't you realize we've been born, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you've been born again. You've been redeemed from the curse. You are a chosen generation. You are a child of the Most High God. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. I love abundant life. Abundant living is a wonderful way to live. And he has appropriated that to each and every one of us. And it frustrates me whenever I see believers who are under the circumstances. We're not supposed to be under the circumstances. We are in a test, but it's an open book test. And we should be winning every single battle. Are there going to be trials and tribulations come your way? Absolutely. You don't have a testimony without a test. We are going to be tested, but we are to be victorious in all forms of life. Hallelujah. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Maybe you should just get up in the morning and say that. I have life today and I have it abundantly because Christ is in me. Praise the Lord. Those are the ways we have to, like Romans 12:2 said, we have to renew our minds to understand this stuff, to get it down on the inside of us so that we live victoriously. Praise the Lord. So we have to remember that we're on the winning team. Romans 8:37 says this, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yet in all trials and tribulations of life, we are more than conquerors. Do you see yourself as a conqueror? Now, I'm saying all of this to get you built up in your holy faith so that you can keep your momentum going. We want to have a positive, powerful momentum for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says this, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Once again, we're in a battle. As believers, we have to understand that we need this constant spiritual momentum so that we can say the same thing that Paul said, as I said earlier, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a couple of things that we need to remember in fighting against the wiles of the devil. We are fighting a battle where the war has already been won. We're fighting a battle that the war has already been won. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave at Calvary. Jesus pulled the devil's teeth and declawed him at the resurrection. And that's why Peter boldly stated in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have to understand that our enemy has already been defeated. And do you see this where it says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion? It doesn't say that he is a roaring lion. Here's one way you know that he's not a real lion, because if a lion roared while he was seeking his prey, he would go hungry. He is going about as a roaring lion, and the only power that the devil has is the power that we allow him to have. You're allowing the devil to have victory in your life whenever you don't stand up against him, whenever you don't appropriate the promises of God, Whenever you don't understand who you are in Christ Jesus, you are a blood-bought child of the living God. How can the devil defeat you? But we have to understand that, and we have to know it, and you have to appropriate it in your life, or it won't happen. The favor of God should be on your life. There should be supernatural things happening in your life that just don't happen to other people. There should be an anointing and a blessing on your life that you can't even take credit for it yourself, because it's beyond who you are. It's supernatural. So the devil is like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. Secondly, the battle isn't ours to begin with. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's battle. But he has invited us to take part in it and to be a part of the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, there are several things we need to understand and do in order to keep kingdom momentum. All of us know we have to pray. We need fellowship. We need worship. We need Bible study. There's thanksgiving and gratitude. All of those things are so necessary. Aren't you thankful for the fellowship here? Aren't you thankful for what you have here? I mean, this church is growing. There's families being added here. It's exciting to see what the Lord's doing. Fellowship is so important, but so is worship, and so is studying of your Bible, and prayer. Prayer is so important. But for me today, the main thing I want to get across to you in keeping momentum is this. To maintain momentum, we have to understand our identity in Christ. Who are we in Christ? Make it personal. Who are you now that you have received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? We had a meeting about 2 weeks ago with a group of three or four, I think it was 19 of us, three or four of them were pastors, but the rest of them were people out in the workforce, but they were doing ministry stuff. We posed the question to them, who are you outside of what you do? What happens in a group of 19 when you pose that question? They become tongue-tied. Because think about who you are outside of being a mother, outside of working at a factory or being a farmer or whatever it is you do. Outside of that, who are you? And many people struggle to answer that question. But even more important question is, who am I in Christ Jesus? Who am I now that I have received salvation? And Christ, just imagine that. The creator of the universe has brought himself down and lives inside of you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amazing to think about that. So understanding who we are is so important. Brock referred to this scripture last week, Matthew 16:13-16. So let's take another look at it. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's important for us to know that Jesus said this at this particular location for a particular reason. At Caesarea Philippi is where there are 400 gods. They have made temples and they have made idols at this one particular place. At Caesarea Philippi, there's a mountain ledge that comes straight down, and out of the bottom of that rock formation on that mountain at Caesarea Philippi, the water flows out from under there, and the people just thought that was a mystical kind of a place, because no other place does water flow out from under the rock. Most water flows down the rock. This water flows out from the rock. It goes down about 200 yards, and that's the beginning of the Jordan River. So on that mountain ledge and out in front of it, there are 400 gods, idols, that people have set up, the Israelites had set up, and they came there to worship. Isn't that interesting that that's the very place that Jesus says, okay, you have all these gods out in front of you, but who do you say that I am? It's interesting. So you and I have to ask the same question. We have all this stuff out in front of us. The world is screaming at us at a magnitude that is deafening. The lights are shining bright. We have to ask ourselves, who do I say that Jesus is? We have to have that settled. And many people say, well, I know who Jesus is. You know, he saved me. But, I mean, we have to know everything about who Jesus is, because if you don't, you'll never know who you are in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? So we have to be convinced. We have to absolutely know who Christ Jesus is. Verse 14 says, so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They're talking about reincarnation. We have to get all of that kind of stuff out of our head. Reincarnation. Verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And how did he say that? How did he know that? It was revelation. His eyes were finally opened. And as we grow, I have found, even though I've been a believer for 50, going on 51 years, I'm still having my eyes open to the revelation of the magnitude of who Christ is. He's so much more than what we make him out to be. He's amazing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we must have a thorough understanding of who Christ is. Listen to this. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He always has been and will forever be. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, our great reward. He is life and the conqueror of death. He is the light that dispels all darkness. He is our Redeemer and our Counselor. He is the one who will soon split the eastern sky and receive his saints. He is the one born of the Virgin, shown as the Father, died as the Son of God and the Son of Man, and the Savior of the world, resurrected in glory that we too may be resurrected also. He's the one seated at the right hand of the Most High, interceding for us. He's the great morning star and the rose of Sharon. He is the dew in the morning and the manna by day and the water from the rock. He is the joy that comes in the morning. Does this excite any of you? It makes me excited to think of who my God is and who is living on the inside of me. Hallelujah. He's a glory and the lifter of my head. He's the one and only true and living God who was manifested in the flesh. He's the fullness of the fivefold, the apostle, evangelist, pastor, prophet, and teacher. He's the Word of God. He is the good shepherd and the lamb that was slain, which makes him the fulfiller of 300 plus prophecies. And you put all of those things together, and we're just barely beginning to scratch the surface of who he is. And I have to ask you this morning, do you know him? Have you received him? Is he your Savior? Do you know that when you leave this life, you're going to the Father? I hope everybody here this morning has received Christ as your Savior, because it's a magnificent thing to begin to learn who he is and to begin to understand who he is in you. You can live a marvelous life, not free of problems, not free of trials, not free of temptation. You're going to have all of that, but all of that becomes your testimony. Hallelujah. And I hope you get fired up about that, and I hope those kind of things keep your momentum going. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory. To them, he's talking about those before Christ Jesus, and especially to the Jews, he was saying, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. There was a mystery that was going on that they didn't understand about what God was doing through Christ. And the mystery was this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. I hope you walk around every day of your life understanding that Jesus Christ Himself lives in you. You are the temple of the Most High God. You are the carrier of Jesus Christ. And we need to be His representatives. We need to be everything that Christ was here upon the earth, because that very Christ who was here upon the earth is now in us. What an amazing thought. And the lack of knowing who you are in Christ is a major reason that the devil has so many believers defeated, discouraged, disheartened, displaced, and living in despair. And how can that happen whenever Jesus Christ lives in us? It's because we don't understand, or we're just simply not walking in what He's appropriated for us. So, how do you find out who you are in Christ? It's right in here. It's all right here. Get in the Word of God and begin to seek after Him. Let me share a few scriptures with you on who you are in Christ. First of all, you're a child of the King. John 1, verse 12 says this: "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." You are a child of the Most High God. That should, I hope God will bring revelation to you of what that means. Galatians 3:26 says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." Romans 8:15 says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father." You are adopted. You are His child. What a privilege it is to be a child of the Most High God. 1 John 3 and verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." You see the adjectives that He's using here? How He lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. And many believers do not know Him either. They've received Him as Savior. They're going to heaven, but they have not entered into the magnitude of everything we receive when we have accepted Christ as Savior. Receiving Christ as Savior is not the end and all. It's just the beginning. Praise the Lord. Redeemed. Galatians, you are redeemed. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. You are an overcomer. Revelations 12 and verse 11. "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. Plead the blood of Jesus over things. It's the blood of Jesus that will set you free. We plead the blood of Jesus over our children, over our grandchildren. We plead the blood of Jesus over situations because it's the blood. It washes away sin. It takes care of problems. The precious blood of Jesus. Why is Jesus' blood so precious? Because the blood is determined, the blood type is determined by the Father. He has the only blood type that ever lived upon the face of the earth because of who His Father is. It's the precious blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And the word of your testimony. Are you giving your testimony to anyone? Are you sharing the faith that you have? Are you letting people know about the goodness of God and what He's done for you? Because it's your testimony that also helps set you free. Praise the Lord. There's so many other descriptions of who we are in Christ in Scripture. Victorious, beloved, overcomer, favored, a friend, purchased, heir, His workmanship, crafted and grafted in, adopted, valuable, chosen, treasured, and those are just a few of the adjectives of who we are in Christ Jesus. Paul said that he was a slave and a servant to Christ. Praise the Lord. Once again, remember, I'm talking about momentum. I want you to have momentum in your life, that you're keeping the fire burning, that you're keeping things going. Praise the Lord. I really believe that many times we do not overcome because we don't have overflow. I want to have overflow in my life. We all know the psalm. It says, my cup runneth over. Oh, I just want to be running over and spill out on other people. Hallelujah. Now, there's an interesting story, and I'll wrap up with this. There's an interesting story in Acts chapter 19 that we will take a look at quickly here this morning. One you're probably familiar with. Acts 19, starting out at verse 13, it says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That was not a pretty sight. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I'm concerned in the church today that we have become anemic. We don't plead the blood of Jesus. We don't know who we are in Christ. And therefore, whenever we come up against the wiles of the devil, he's saying the same thing to us. He's saying, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And we need to be people who understand who we are in Christ, and we are not afraid to shake our finger in the face of the devil and say, I'll tell you who I am. I'm a blood-bought, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He is my Father. He sits now at the right hand of the Most High, and he is interceding for me at this very moment. And devil, you are defeated because of who I am in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. Now you get yourself out of here. The word says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. How will he flee from you? Because of who you are in Christ. Your words carry weight when you understand who you are in Christ Jesus. And all of that, it will keep your momentum going. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able. Look at the adjectives in this scripture. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Isn't that powerful? Maybe I should read that every day. Let's read it again. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, I'm yours. And I know today you're going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything I can ask or think. Hallelujah. What a way to start your day. And to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. So in order for momentum to be sustained in your Christian walk with the Lord, you must know who Christ is. And Peter received that revelation. You need revelation on the fullness of who Christ is in your life. Praise the Lord. It's a thrilling way to live when you understand Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Living a Spirit-led life is so exciting. It's an adventure every day. I may have given this testimony one time here at church, but if somebody needs to hear this. Being led by the Spirit is so simple. We make it difficult, but it's really simple. I pulled into, it used to be Gas America, I think it's a, I don't know what it is now. They're at 28, or 26 and 31. I pulled in there, one is in the summer, I pulled in there and I was getting gas. And a little red sports car, Mitsubishi, with a convertible top pulled in and pulled up in front of me, and it was a real nice looking black lady. She pulled up, she started pumping her gas. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and he said, go tell her that I love her. That's not difficult. But I don't know about you. I began to argue, oh, well, you know, she's a woman. I don't want to just walk up to her and, you know, scare her. You know, you start making all kinds of excuses to fight against what the Lord's telling you to do, right? But this is what's exciting about serving a living God. He prompted me again. He said, go tell her that I love her. So I walked up to her and I said, ma'am, I said, I don't want to frighten you, but I said, I'm a Christian. I believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I just know for some reason he wants me to tell you that he loves you, he knows who you are, and he cares about you. And she fell back against her car and she began to cry. And I'm wondering, you know, what's going on? And she finally looks up and she said, I'm filling up my car to go home and shut myself in the garage to commit suicide. And she said, I told God that if he didn't show me today, that he knew who I was and that he loved me, I'm going to do this. And I said, God loves you, and he knows who you are. Please don't do that. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And she said, can I give you a hug? And I walked back to my car and never saw the lady again, as far as I know. But you see how simple living a life for Christ is? It really is simple. We just have to be obedient. And I haven't done it right every time. I've made plenty of mistakes. But Christ is living in you. And he, above anyone, wants to keep your momentum going. And he wants to do some mighty fine things through you. Brock said last week, he said, sustain the sizzle and resist the fizzle. And that's what we want to do, to maintain momentum. Christ in you, and know who you are in Christ. Let me close. Father, we bless you. We thank you. I give you glory today. May you be high and lifted up today, Lord. May you bring revelation to us about who you are and who we are in Christ Jesus. And may the momentum continue. May your hand of blessing be upon each and every individual. May your hand of blessing be upon Fairmount Friends Church. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.